Hello and welcome to the Faber Firm Boxing Show with Joe Cortez here and my kick here today, none other than Jesús López. Jesús López.
Joe, ¿cómo estás? Muchas gracias. Un honor. Firme, pero justo.
Aquí estamos, como siempre, tratando de darle la información a los fanáticos
Así es.
Del boxeo. Y ya sabes, Jesús López es un profesional y va a traer muchas sorpresas para ustedes. Tiene muchas ideas buenas. Jesús has a lot of great talent. He has a lot of ideas. And he's going to be an added plus to the show. Today we got to wish our friend John Zimmer, who's with us, but he's a little under the weather. John, get well soon. We need you back again, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesús, ya sabes, esta semana pasada la pelea de Luis Ortiz contra Deontay Wilder. We're talking about the fight Luis Ortiz and Deontay Wilder's past weekend on Showtime was a fight that the fans really got their money's worth because it turned out to be better than what we thought. ¿Qué me dice?
It was a great fight. Unfortunately, I believe the referee was not as fair as we were expected with Ortiz. I happen to believe that they were a little bit on Wilder's side, but it was a great fight, you know, and I believe a lot of weakness from Wilder got exposed. Muchas de las cosas, muchas de las debilidades que él tiene como boxeador quedaron expuestas para beneplácito de sus detractores, ¿verdad? De la gente que todavía no cree en él. But still, it was a great fight. It was an amazing fight.
Yeah, it was an interesting fight, yeah. And I know what you're talking about, what happened with the referee calling a timeout.
Yeah.
And in New York, they have a new rule in New York. And the rule in New York is that after you get hurt, that you go into the corner, they want the corner to work on you first. And then after they work on you, they call, the bell rings to start the next round. The time is stopped. Then the doctor now comes in. They don't want the corner to waste their 1 minute rest period with the doctor. Let the doctor, then the doctor comes in. And I thought it was not the right time because when Ortiz has an opponent hurt, you don't want to stop the momentum. You're going
That's
to
right.
keep going. And they call time. The doctor had to check him out because if they don't check him out, something goes wrong. Then they say that's the new rule they have in New York, which I don't agree with, but when it comes to the safety of the fighter. But the same thing should apply to Ortiz as well.
That's right. Yeah, because I believe it was the seventh round.
Uh-huh.
When he pushed him, and he kind of, you know, he touched the ring with his knee.
Yeah.
There should have been some protection for him, or at least ask him, hey, are you okay? Can you go on? But nothing. It was just like, go ahead, you know. So he didn't give him those seconds. As far as I'm concerned, it was not fair enough for Ortiz, from my point of view, Joe.
Yeah, I understand. But you know what? One thing I can say that Deontay Wilder was exposed Saturday night.
Yes,
the fans can see now that he's good. There's a question about it. I mean, he's good in the sense that he can punch. He has 39 wins, 38 big knockouts.
Yes.
And you know, he's a puncher. But that last name, Wilder, I think it's Wilder because he is kind of wild.
He was.
He's kind of wild with his punches. And that's what's going to be. If you fight Anthony Joshua is more of a skillful fighter, even though Ortiz was a skillful fighter. Ortiz vino con mucho talento. O sea, Ortiz es un veterano que tiene 39 años, pero viene con un background de amateur, de muchas peleas, tiene más estilo. He has a big amateur background, a lot of talent, Ortiz did. And, but he got hit. Wilder, when he fights Joshua, I don't know if it's going to be the same kind of a fight.
Well, generalmente, los que son ponchadores no tienen una excelente técnica o un excelente juego de piernas. No es un estilo muy depurado. Sin embargo, acusó recibo Ortiz con los golpes de Wilder. Entraron francos en el décimo round, se acabó la pelea. Pero siempre queda de manifiesto que no siempre un ponchador, es muy difícil encontrar ese balance entre un boxeador que tenga ponche y además que tenga un buen estilo o un buen juego de piernas, Joe.
You're right. He's saying like, you know, the fighter he's a little bit on the wild side, but the other guy had more, Ortiz had more technique.
Yep.
And what happens is Ortiz was not able to take the punches. I mean, Wilder can punch, there's no question about it. He says that that's his style. He waits to get you in trouble. Then when he gets you in trouble, he goes after you. But he didn't go crazy when he hurt Ortiz. He had Ortiz down at the end of the fifth round. He could have came right after him in the sixth round, crazy, go out for a knockout. And I'm glad he didn't because sometimes when that doesn't happen, you get tired as hell. You don't have it. you lose all your stamina. So ya sabe que en el boxeador que tiene al oponente lastimado y ya sabe que ya está para terminarlo y se vuelve loco a tratar de noquearlo y se le va toda la fuerza, ya no tiene, ya la gasolina se le vacía, ya no hay gasolina en el tanque, entonces ahí es donde hay peligro. So I think Wilder was smart and not, he has a trainer named Mark Breland. Mark Breland is an Olympic champion, two-time welterweight champion, and he was able to coach him the right way. You don't go crazy when you got a guy hurt. You got to wait for your opening and connect him. You don't get him this round, we'll get him the next round. Pero en el séptimo asalto, seventh round, Wilder got hurt.
Yes, a big time.
He didn't go down, but he was in trouble. I thought, this may be over. That's why I was saying that at the beginning, Wilder, I had him predicting that he will win, but he got to be careful because Ortiz is a puncher, and he cannot take Ortiz for granted. Because if you take Ortiz for granted, then what happens is you lose your concentration, and if you lose that fight, he always on the verge of losing it. Can you imagine? There's no Anthony Joshua fight, and you know the millions of dollars that he's gonna lose. And I said, there it goes.
Now I have a question for you, Joe.
Dime.
The thing is, when they stopped the fight in the 10th round, every single one of the judges had Wilder ahead of Ortiz with 1 point. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I had Wilder losing the first four rounds.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly thought that he didn't, I thought Ortiz was the, and then, I mean, I can understand Ortiz went down in the fifth round. That was a 2 point, 10-8 round instead of 10-9. Then one round there, when the seventh round, I gave it a 10-8 for Ortiz. Even though he didn't put him down, but if you overwhelm your opponent to the point where he's hurt really bad, you got to give it an extra point. I gave him a 10-8 round. But then I saw Ortiz, when he hurt, I mean, he hurt Wilder, being that he was in trouble. I mean, Ortiz came back the next round. He won the next round after the seventh. He won the eighth. And it was kind of like touch and go. But I thought Ortiz was ahead when the fight was stopped.
So what would have been firm but fair?
I think fair but firm. If it would have went out to the end, it would have been a close fight. Might have ended up a draw. But if you end up a draw, then Wilder, the champion, stays champion. But Ortiz...
That's my point.
Ortiz still is up there, even more so than before. Because now, like Wilder said, I can see why a lot of people, they want to fight. A lot of fighters, they want to fight Ortiz because he's dangerous. You know, he got here, Wilder, in trouble. And that's with boxing, you never know. He says... Ortiz says if the right won't get you, then the left one will. And Wilder, you know, did his thing, man. I think Ortiz was on top of his game. Yo creo que Ortiz peleó bastante bien. Se queda arriba como todavía un peso completo bien para el boxeo.
I firmly believe that, you know, entre que no era muy justo el referee con Ortiz. Y el desgaste que hizo entre el quinto y el séptimo round, creo que eso finalmente le pasa la factura en el décimo round. Pierde la concentración y bueno, entre las fuerzas menguadas, cae también en knockout.
Exacto. Y cuando cayó Ortiz tres veces en el último asalto, en el décimo, and I saw Ortiz get knocked down three times in the tenth round, the referee had no choice but to stop it. But I think we're going to see, comes out, let's say, September, if Anthony Joshua gets to beat Joseph Parker, and you have Tyson Fury, those three guys in Great Britain, those guys are going to mix it up. They're going to be a good matches in the heavyweight division with those guys to fight Wilder. Wilder, you know, he doesn't sell much. Even though they sold Madison Square, the Barclays Center Saturday night, they had a good 16,000-17,000 fans in there. But in Great Britain, they have 80,000 fans. And you fans out there listening, please, you know, send in some questions. You may have some questions. ¿Tiene alguna pregunta? Mándanos una pregunta. Le contestamos aquí mismo, en este momento, con mi socio aquí, Jesús López, uno de los buenos que sabe, conoce el boxeo, conoce todos los deportes, pero ya es parte del grupo de nosotros. You guys out there, don't hesitate. My friend here, Jesús López, is a great part of the team now. He's very knowledgeable in all sports. But boxing is one that we're going to focus on right here. People ask me about MMA. ¿Qué me dice de la MMA?
La pelea de este fin de semana, Joe, no tuve oportunidad de seguirla por estarle dando cobertura a la NASCAR.
Sí.
Pero me dicen que hubo sorpresas muy agradables.
Sí. Pero ¿cómo el deporte en sí? ¿Cómo te gusta el deporte de mí?
Creo yo que de ahora que lo tiene Dana White, creo yo que ha perdido algo de fuerza. No sé qué tanto ayudó. I really don't understand how much it helped seeing Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather doing that fight. Mm-hmm. That's going to create a lot of opinions divided because I don't know if you know that Mayweather just a couple of weeks ago he uploaded some picture inside of an octagon, fighting McGregor it was crazy because I interviewed Leonard Ellerbe and I asked him about that and he says, all I can tell you is that Mayweather is a genius, and yes, he is a genius because about making money, there's nobody better than Mayweather, that is for sure. But I believe it's a little bit on the downside right now, the UFC.
Well, let's see what happens. I think there's going to be, I think everything has its peaks and valleys. Boxing the same way, it was up and down, now boxing is back on the way up again.
Definitely.
You know, el boxeo trae mucho en los tiempos de la pelea de Julio César Chávez.
Ah.
Yeah, we talk about the era of Julio César Chávez, and you had Sánchez.
Bueno, entre los boxeadores como Márquez, que tuvo un knockout espectacular, yeah. Épico con Manny Pacquiao.
Right.
Morales, grandes boxeadores. Pero si estamos hablando, por ejemplo, está mencionando yo boxeadores estilistas, que difícilmente se puede encontrar estilo y pegada junto, como lo tenía Julio César Chávez, por ejemplo, o un boxeador estilista, como en su momento lo fue Salvador Sánchez, el hijo pródigo de Santiago Tianguistengo, Estado de México, que lamentablemente perdiera su vida en un accidente,
sí.
O estilistas como Ricardo Finito López, estilistas como Héctor Macho Camacho.
Exacto.
Ahora, se viene una pelea épica, se viene una pelea que tiene un trasfondo sociocultural para los mexicanos. We will be having this fight with a very powerful meaning on our Mexican society. And we're talking about May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, Canelo Álvarez versus Gennady Golovkin. And everything that I've seen on Canelo so far is that he just need better legs. That's all he needs. I mean, we have to place Canelo in a samba school or something because he needs legs. That's all he needs. Because truly, I mean, the guy can take a lot of punches. He's really strong. His physical constitution for boxing is perfect. But still, he needs the legs. I mean, he needs to learn how to dance.
Exactly.
Joe.
Well, you know, I got to go teach you some of that salsa.
Some Puerto Rican moves. You know?
some salsa dances. Like Camacho was all over the ring. You got good footwork. Canelo, you know what it is, that when you go up in weight for 154 to 160, it makes a difference. It takes a lot from you, and you carry that extra weight. You got to make weight today. You're fighting tomorrow. You weigh 154. You made the weight today. Tomorrow, he comes in 10, 12, 13 pounds more than he did the day before. I don't agree with that weight the same one day before, even though they do it for the safety of the fighters.
Oh, yeah, it's even dangerous.
But we put on 15 pounds or 10 pounds more on your body for overnight, you're going to feel it in the 7th, 8th, 9th round. So your legs are not there unless you're accustomed to fighting at 160 all the time. You make the weight, you don't have no problem. But you're trying to make the weight to go up to 160 to fight a dangerous puncher who's a solid middleweight like Triple G is, Canelo going to have trouble there. Canelo's not really a full-fledged middleweight. He's a full-fledged junior middleweight, 154,
totally.
Super welterweight, 154. But Triple G will continue putting the pressure on. Si Canelo no pone la presión en su próximo combate, 5 de mayo, va a lucir igual como lució la última vez. Ya sabes que los fanáticos todos pensaron que perdió Canelo y no cumplió con las palabras que dijo que le iba a ganar fácilmente a Triple G. Ahora dice el entrenador de Triple G, Abel Sánchez, dice, Joe, él viene mejor preparado. Yo estuve con él el lunes pasado y me dijo, Joe, estamos mejor preparados en esta pelea que la primera, porque él sí ahora estaba, ahora está más concentrado y sabe que Canelo va a subir un poco más. Tenemos que subir un poco más también.
He's going to take more risks, definitely. I'm talking about Triple G. And one of the things that we have to point out is that he has a great style. I mean, Triple G has a great style. All this Olympic experience that he has, it's an amazing fighter. And also, tenemos que recordar que no siempre un estilista tiene pegada y Gennady Golovkin la tiene. Mm. Tiene también extraño en un boxeador Europa del Este, que tenga ese excelente juego de piernas también.
Exacto.
Una de las cosas buenas que tiene también Gennady Golovkin es el jab en retroceso.
Right.
Sale del clinch, eso, soltando. Yeah. Ahora, es un cirujano para tirar golpes Gennady Golovkin. He's a surgeon throwing punches. Why? Because he does the clinch, he makes the points, and then he withdraws.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's really good at it. It's really good making points, and that's a big advantage.
Exactly. No, he's got a lot of... A lot of talent. You know, you got the middleweight division. I'm telling you, it's a very hot division. But me gusta también el peso super mediano. Mm-hmm. David Benavides.
Yeah, of course.
Ese muchacho jovencito, 20 años que tiene. He's only 20 years old. David Benavides, he got great talent. 20-year-old, he got good height. And he's a good puncher, a good boxer. He got long reach. I think he's going to be somebody going to be to wreck with in the super middleweight division is going to be very, very good.
Now, the question is, Joe, is this a fight between Canelo and Triple G going to break any records as far as pay-per-views is concerned? And,
no, I don't think so. I don't think going to have a pay-per-view direct. I think the record was like Mayweather when he fought Oscar De La Hoya, Mayweather when he fought Manny Pacquiao.
Tito Trinidad.
Trinidad, but Mayweather when he fought, of all people, MMA guy, you know.
That was crazy.
McGregor, Conor McGregor, I mean, the pay-per-views went through the roof. But I don't think Triple G and Canelo is going to be, because the fans were not. Well, you know what? It was not a bad fight. The last time, it was not a bad fight. I think what took away from the fight was the scoring of the officials, even though we all know that Adelaide Bird was the judge for that fight, and she happens to be one of the best judges in the world. What happened that night, we don't know. She said herself, she had an off night. We all have an off night. But that took away from the fight that we had that night. It was a great fight. Canelo did stand up to Triple G, but not the way the Mexican fans wanted him to stand up. He was running too much. And Mexicans don't like to fight at our roles. You're going to say that. I remember when Chavez fought Camacho was running all over the ring, and Chavez is chasing him all night long. That's what the fans wanted to see, somebody that chases a fighter. Canelo wasn't doing
that. Yeah, at a certain point, Chavez had to stop and say, "Hey, I'm tired of following you, my friend. I mean, yeah. Are we going to fight or not?" You know,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like,
exactly.
Yeah, great, was great fight.
Yeah, yeah, good fight. There was many great fights back in the days. And you got Rufino Benitez when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. Leonard when he fought Marvin Hagler. You know, when I peleas Rufino Gomez, cuando peleó con Tavares Sánchez, y era dos invicto. Y Gómez estaba noqueando a todos y se enfrentó con Sánchez. Sánchez, you know, ended up stopping him. It was a great fight, but it was...
Yeah, but after he ended up with like 6 or 7 Mexican champions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was not easy. So here's a question for you, Joe. Based on the last fight, Wilder and Ortiz, how much does that help to the boxing credibility? I mean,
well, I'll tell you, I think the fight was good. I think it was a fight that the fans, you know, we could watch that fight again. It was an exciting fight. A lot of drama, a lot of things that we, you know, expected to happen. Nobody thought Ortiz was going to hurt Wilder the way he did. I mean, he was almost about ready to stop him. And any second, any right, good solid punch by Ortiz would have put Wilder down, and maybe the referee would have stopped it. But it was an interesting fight. I was surprised. Up, and it was back and forth. It was not all one-sided.
You know, I saw that Ortiz did his homework,
yeah,
because he studied him deeply, profoundly, and he knew how to fight Wilder, and it made him look bad.
I tell you that in the heavyweight division, I think they're going to have a lot of interest now with Anthony Joshua,
yep.
Who they claim is like, he's young. He's only like 27, 28 years old, and he has a talent. When he knocked out Klitschko last year to win the heavyweight championship, then Klitschko was already on his way down because he was champion for 10 consecutive years. So yo creo que el peso completo sí va a traer mucha acción este año, pero estamos viendo el peso liviano como la semana pasada que peleó Juan Francisco Estrada contra Saul Rivenside y la pelea de McWilliams Arroyo contra Cuadras, Carlos Cuadras, una pelea interesante. So la división peso liviano, the lighter division, are bringing a lot of interest to boxing, which they didn't have in the past. When Saul Rosenzweig beat Chocolatito González, Chocolatito González was considered the best in the pound for pound in boxing. He was able to beat him once, and then on the rematch knock him out. So that brought a lot of interest in the lighter division. You didn't have that before.
So, otra buena pregunta es, ¿cómo vamos a lograr, Joe, que los románticos del boxeo? Estamos hablando de los románticos, los que vimos, los que gozamos a un Salvador Sánchez, los que gozamos a un Héctor Macho Camacho, un Wilfrido Gómez, los que crecimos viendo ese tipo de peleas, ¿cómo vamos a lograr amalgamarnos, juntarnos con esta nueva generación de milenios que si les ponen una pelea de Mayweather contra Conor McGregor en un octágono se vuelven locos? Sí. How are you going to match that? How are we going to make that happen together?
Well, I don't know about the MMA and boxing, but I can tell you one thing: that boxing has a lot of young talent coming up now. Lomachenko, he's like one of the best, maybe pound for pound. And you got Terence Crawford.
For a lot of people, Lomachenko is number one.
Yeah, Keith Thurman. You have Sean Porter, you have Danny Garcia. Hay mucho talento buenos ahí en los pesos vueltas, pero la MMA con el boxeo, yo creo que eso no va. Hay una vez nomás, los fanáticos no quedaron muy disgustados porque sí vieron que McGregor hizo algo, creían que le iban a noquear uno o dos rounds, pero no, fue al revés. Le duró los 10 rounds a Mayweather, pero yo creo que sí estaba bien preparado, pero no como yo quisiera, porque yo lo estaba preparando a él para las reglas en el boxeo. O sea, yo estaba en el ring con él, pero él estaba haciendo el sparring, yo era referí con él por 5 semanas, y yo no era el entrenador, cómo enseñarle cómo tirar los golpes, y este es otra persona que hacía, otro entrenador que hacía eso. Yo creo que si él tuviera las manos mías, yo le hubiese enseñado otras cosas, otras movidas que posiblemente la condición de hubiese sido mucho mejor y no se hubiese cansado tan rápido.
Le hubieran hecho un poco más de daño a Mayweather.
Un poco más daño.
Pero es difícil. Mayweather es un peleador muy esquivo, es muy escurridizo. Yeah. It's hard to get Mayweather, especially because this defense position that he gets on, it's hard to get. It's just hard to get.
It's hard to hit Mayweather. That's why he lasted until he was 40 years old.
Yeah.
Mayweather was in there with the best, and he didn't dodge any, but he fought them all. And beat them all, beat Canelo, beat Cotto, he beat them all. I mean, everybody that he faced, it was easy, just about easy. He had a tough fight with Castillo. Castillo gave him a tough fight. A lot of people thought that Castillo beat him back in his prime, but he was 40 years old. He made it to the end and made over $1 billion in boxing. $1 billion, more than any other athlete in the history of any sport.
How many times have been Joe Cortez in the ring with Mayweather?
I've been in the ring with him on 4 different occasions.
4 different occasions.
Yeah, 4 occasions. And it was an honor to be with him. But I had a lot of fun refereeing. It was an honor refereeing Julio Cesar Chavez on 6 occasions. Mike Tyson on 9 occasions.
Can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
Julio César Chávez acaba de mencionar que uno de sus momentos más importantes en su vida boxística fue ver el estadio Azteca lleno. That's what Julio César Chávez said. One of the most important part of his boxing life was when he saw the Azteca Stadium, 128,000, I believe.
136,000.
136,000 people in the stadium just to see Julio César Chávez, and Joe Cortez was a referee for that fight. How does that make you feel?
Let me tell you, it was an amazing day.
It was a world record.
It broke the records of all boxing events, 136,000 fans. But to me, it was an honor. It was like, I wasn't nervous, but I was kind of like, wow. I was in awe because it was such a big crowd.
Overwhelming.
As far as I could look to the left, as far as I could look to the right, the arena was, Azteca Stadium was unbelievable. And then Chavez was in a ring with Greg Haugen. And Greg Haugen said a lot of bad things to Chavez during the run up to the fight.
He said,
you fought a bunch of Tijuana taxi drivers, and you know what? You didn't fight nobody. You're going to see when I get in a ring with you. Chavez got pissed off.
Daytime.
And he said, wait until I get you in the ring. Wait until I get you in the ring. I'm going to whip your butt. And I'm not going to knock you out that easy. I'm going to whip you first, and then I'm going to knock you out. He could have knocked him out easily the first round. He had him down, but he ended up in the fifth round.
Chavez, well, That's what Julio Cesar Chavez said. But for Joe Cortez, was it the most impressive scenario you've been in your life?
It was very impressive because it was such a loud crowd, a loud crowd, and it was a big audience. But we also did the largest indoor crowd of boxing, but also with Chavez and Pernell Whitaker at the Alamo Dome in Texas, which I was a referee as well. So like Julio and I was talking the other day on the ESPN show that we do the Contragolpes in L.A.
And that's why when Joe invited me to do this with them, when I was, it is a great honor Joe's being here with all due respect. I do respect this gentleman a lot because all of the knowledge, all of the experience that he has, I mean, it's an honor being here, Joe. But I have another question for Joe.
Go ahead.
would you like to... ¿Te hubiera gustado más, Joe, haber llegado a ser campeón del mundo boxeando o lo hubieras cambiado por la carrera de referee que
yo creo que el sueño mío era para ser campeón mundial y nunca no lo logré. Tuve 18 y una at 18 and 1 record. Boxrec got me for 11 and 1, but there were some fights that I had in Mexico that were not recorded. But I only lost one fight in the pros, and that was against Georgie Foster in Madison Square Garden, a 6-round fight. When I was 18 years old, and I was a 6-time Golden Glove champion with the New York, the East, Internationals, the Spanish Golden Gloves. So I did a lot in boxing as an amateur. I wanted to be world champion, but going to your question is, that would have been nice, but I was able to become a Hall of Famer, not as a fighter, but I got in there with this beautiful ring that I got with Mike Tyson, Julio Cesar Chavez,
and Sylvester Stallone. You told me that.
I was a referee. I was in the movie Rocky Balboa as a referee. So it was an honor for me to get. I didn't get in as a fighter, but I got in as a referee. So I had a long career, 35 years as a referee. And if I would have been a fighter, I would have not been that long. But I enjoy it. And I'm still enjoying it today, doing what we're doing here with the with social media. And what I do with ESPN as a boxing analyst, that I've been with ESPN now for the last 4.5 years. And I want to continue doing what I do. I like to really be a ringside commentator. I like to commentate the fights blow by blow. I've heard you call it the fight blow by blow, and you've been excellent.
Thank you.
I love your style.
Thank you.
Jesús tiene un tremendo talento. También como comentarista, analista de boxeo. Y el oído de ella hacer las peleas golpe por golpes en el ringside y muy profesional. Me gusta. I like the way you work. That's what I want to do down the line. I like doing what I'm doing as a boxing analyst. I love doing this here. I like doing interviews. It's fine. But I want to call the fights blow by blow at ringside. You know, whether Spanish or English, doesn't make any difference. I love to, that's what I like because I know boxing.
We can do it in both languages.
Yeah, I do it both languages. I've done it. I've done a refereeing. I've been a judge. Well, we used to judge. The first 10 years of my career, you had to referee and judge. They only had 2 judges. Now they have 3 judges. But about 25 years ago, they took away the duties of a referee and I didn't put in a 3rd judge. But I did that for my first 10 years. Matter of fact, when I first came to Las Vegas, Nevada, I came here to Las Vegas, Nevada as a judge. I refereed Michael Spinks and Larry Holmes. That was my first fight. Wow. I came here to judge, not referee. I was on the side scoring the fight. It was a split decision win for Spinks, and I had it for Holmes. And I thought I did the wrong thing. And they said, no, Joe, you were the only one who had it right. Everybody thought that Larry Holmes won the fight. Then they called me again a second time to Las Vegas to become a judge again for the Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran, number 3. I was a judge in that fight. I remember I only gave Roberto Duran 2 rounds in that fight. He didn't look good at all. That was his 3rd time he fought with Sugar Ray Leonard. But I remember the 2nd time before Leonard, he said no mas when he quit. Remember? Then the first one was in Montreal when he beat Leonard. But they had a trilogy of great fights, Leonard and Duran. And I've always been so honored to be involved with those type of fights, you know, being refereeing, judging, whatever. And today, I love still doing what I'm doing. Being here with you is an honor as well. You know, I love being with
Thank
the
you.
Fans, giving the information out to the fans. You guys have any questions? We got our producer here, Charlie. We're ready to give us any questions you may have. Alguna pregunta que tengan, pregúntela aquí. Estamos aquí para contestarle cualquier cosa. Jesús y yo,
And don't forget to give us a like on our Facebook website, Firm But Fair. Give us a like, and as Joe says, I have to tell you something. When I first got here in Vegas and I started covering all these big fights, all these big events, I've always wanted to meet somebody, you know. I always wanted to meet Joe Cortez, because nobody can give you a better example or a better explanation of what goes on in the ring. But when you have someone with so much experience, when you have someone with so much knowledge, it's impressive. So this one time I was walking down the hall at the Mandalay Bay, and I saw Joe Cortez, and I go, no, this cannot be true. And he was just walking alone, and I approach him, and I go, hey, Joe, I'm with ESPN Deportes in Spanish here in Vegas, and can I have an interview with you? Turn around with this big smile on his face, like, yeah, of course not. And that was the first time. And what I can say about Joe, with all due respect, is that so much of a beautiful career, so much of knowledge. I mean, and all of a sudden you find this, really easygoing person. It's just amazing. You don't find that every day. So. It's an honor for me being here, Joe. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Jesus, it's an honor to have you on our show. Jesus is going to be on our show on a weekly basis with us from now on. He brings, like I said, a lot of... I want you to tell me a little bit the other sports that you covered. You covered the NASCAR yesterday. Tell me about the sports that you've covered in the past.
Well, I did NASCAR, but I have some experience in Formula 1. I did... blow by blow, like you said, in Mexico for radio and also for soccer. And here I'm the official voice in Spanish for Vegas Golden Knights, so I'm doing the play-by-play for the Knights. We're doing a great season. It's the opening season, and nobody thought that hockey could be this big in Vegas. Well, we're number one in our division, and for a few times we've been number one in the whole league. So estoy haciendo el play-by-play. Y con esto del play-by-play, el hockey, cuando se el equipo de hockey, when the Vegas Golden Knights arrived, they wanted to do the play-by-play in Spanish. So I went into Wikipedia and Google and everything, trying to search for references of how hockey sounded in Spanish. There wasn't anything. I told the Sage Salmons, you know what, I cannot find anything, but I'll try my best. But I remember that I saw Goofy playing hockey in one of those Disney cartoons.
Yeah, right.
So I searched for Goofy, and there he was in Spanish, and it's the only Spanish reference I could find. So so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to emulate what that cartoon did.
But you don't want to sound goofy, though.
No, not at all. But no, the thing is that I believe the narrator was from South America, and he was hired just to do that cartoon in 1953, I believe. It was 1953. Wow. So he got hired. He did soccer. So when I told him the story on TV, I mean, everybody cracked. Like,
sure, of course. You're also known to have a puppet, a little character.
Yeah, I'm a ventriloquist. I do over 20 voices in my show. And I use voices for Mexican commentators, very famous ones like
José Ramón. Give me one. Give me an example.
Bueno, por ejemplo, puedo ser la voz de José Ramón Fernández desde la Ciudad de México para ustedes, para sí, para ustedes. José Ramón Fernández, toda una institución en la oficina del deporte. That's José Ramón Fernández, everybody knows who that is.
Okay, who's the other one?
And then we can do something. Oh, suoso la voz de Piojo, Miguel Herrera, el técnico de América, buena onda. So, the thing is that I have this puppet, and I use the puppet as the guy who does the voices.
So let's make believe you have a puppet here. Let's make believe this is a puppet. You have your puppet. And you have your puppet talking. Give me how you handle. We don't have him. Let's make believe we have a face here of a puppet. Here's your puppet. What's his name?
Che Wei. That's his name. Che Wei.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If we talk like Che, what are you doing, loco? That's how it sounds. It's a Che Wei talking right there. So we try to make it fun because you see, with the social media now.
Hey, shut up!
No, me voy a callar. ¿Por qué me voy a callar? Yo no me voy a callar. No me calles.
Chido.
No me voy a callar.
Arriba la América.
Arriba la América. Sácalo, por favor, Joe. Sácalo. Ya estuvo.
Good.
Es Gracias, Charlie. Es algo de lo que nosotros tenemos que sacar ventaja. That's something that we have to take advantage of nowadays, because with the radio and social media, entertaining is everything.
Exactly.
And now, I believe we're going back to the days where people need to have, I'm not saying that I have it, but people is going to follow talent more than anything.
Well, this guy, Jesus, has a lot of talent, no doubt in my mind. That's why I got him on the show. He invited me to his house last week. I've gone for years, but I finally got invited over, and we had some little nice hot tea, and it was wine. And we had a good conversation. I thought I was going to be there about an hour. I ended up being there about 3 hours. We were just discussing our history to boxing, and of course, you know, the what we've been doing with the shows here in boxing in Las Vegas. And I know that boxing here is like we call it the boxing capital of the world, and we're doing so much to try and make it better. But what he's doing with the hockey is amazing. I mean, I'm so impressed, because you never heard anybody calling a hockey game in Spanish. Jesús López is a pioneer in Hispanic hockey. So Los Golden Knights in Las Vegas, es la voz de los Golden Knights in Las Vegas. You get to hear he's the voice behind Golden Knights in Vegas in Spanish. So for me, it's an honor to be your friend and be part of a history in the making.
No, because the honor is all mine.
Because you have a beautiful son, daughter, very you. Talented individuals
Thank
as
you.
Well, and we're proud of what you're doing here in Las Vegas with the sport of boxing, and of course, what you're doing in the community to help out. Fans out there, you want to just watch the show on the Fair for Firm show on a weekly basis, we're here to give you all the information we can to keep you up to date with boxing, and of course, try to share our wisdom and knowledge. And me as a Hall of Fame referee, my career as a Hall of Fame referee has been very interesting, a lot of fun. I love my fans. Whether you love me or hate me, I love you all. That's the way my heart is. I don't care if you hate me. I still love you, because that's Joe Cortez for you. And Jesús López now part of this team. We're going to have a lot of fun together.
Yes, we will.
John Zimmer, who's sick out there, and Laura Serrano, who's also a co-host with us on the show. We're going to be seeing a lot of bilingual Spanish, Español, Inglés, de lo que estamos hablando del boxeo.
Am I going to be able to bring my puppet when we do the press conference and stuff?
Joke with this? Next week, we're going to have the puppet. What's his name again?
Che Wei.
Che Wei is going to be with us next week, so be ready for Che Wei. Hope to get the ratings up a little higher with Che Wei. Being that we can't do it, maybe Che Wei can do it for us.
Of course. And in case you want to hear how hockey sounds in Spanish.
How is it?
Marchesol sale por la derecha patinando a toda velocidad. Se la lleva a la mesa, la caricia, la hace suya, la pasa en diagonal. La recibe con la cuchilla, Neil. Se quita la mano, dispara, tiro, gol. Cae la anotación de Neil, the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's how it sounds.
Man, you got a lot of energy, brother.
He has to be.
You have any energy drinks where you're calling
the
game?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you had one before you got here?
Nope.
You sound like you got a lot of energy, brother.
Well, that's how it sounds. That's how hockey sounds.
See, and this is why we say the Fair but Firm show is the best, because best boxing talk show out there, because this is the kind of talent we bring on. This is the kind of people we have on the show to give you the most that we can give you in boxing. Joe Cortez here with the Fair but Firm show. We love you guys. See you next week. Jesús, thank you again, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Joe.
Guys,
it's a pleasure.
Next week, same time, same station, here in Las Vegas. And keep your guards up at all times. And remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up.